Hell yeah, fellas. Are we ready?
Yes,
I think we're ready.
It's time for episode 81 of What You Spinning.
Did you say 81?
81. Randy Moss when he played for the Pats. The best time. We're not going to talk about the other 81 that played for New England. But anyway, I'm Dorian. That's Jake. That's Matt. We are here in my crib today to talk about some spooky albums. Peep the albums on the wall. You'll kind of see where we're going with this. But yeah, how you boys doing?
Well, doing well.
Good, man.
Hell yeah. We ready? We excited?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Excited. Good Excellent. Week of music.
Oh, yeah. Let's touch on that a little bit. Yeah.
I saw that you got that new Aphex Twin album. How's
yes.
that?
I have not, haven't gotten a chance to spin it yet tonight. That's the move tonight.
Nice.
But four discs.
I thought you got that in Portland for some reason. Mm-mm. No. Okay.
No, I got...
I don't know why I
got
that.
Some other stuff.
So they added a lot to it if it's two more discs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's 180 gram, but it's like the bio vinyl and stuff came with a cool ass poster that like I'll have to show it to you guys at some point. But it's one side. It's the percentage, like it's like various percentages of the song on the album. It's like this song is 0.5% of the album in entirety, but it's this percentage of its side of the disc. Like super crazy.
Wow.
And like. Until yeah, it's super weird, and then the backside is like a weird little art piece about it. But yeah, so the packaging was super cool. It's a huge, it's like thick, so it's not shoving four records into a tiny sleeve like companies tend to do. It's a really. I pulled out the packaging yesterday to look at it. I was like, "This is incredible," but haven't spun it yet. I've listened to it though. The new version of the album is pretty good.
That must be fucking heavy, dude.
Yeah.
Miles is three discs, so like they have one on each side and then one in the middle.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like a try, I guess.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
a try, but it has like three, three spots in it.
Yeah, I've got Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye is like that.
Yeah, so is the last Depeche Mode album.
Fuck yeah. I love nice. A good. I love it when things are more than two discs for some reason.
Yeah, extra packaging.
When it's a more, when it's a bigger pain in the ass to spin, I'm like hell yeah. but hell yeah, Elucid also. We got to talk about
that. Yeah, that Revelator album is very, very interesting.
Yeah, it does. I was listening to it and I was like, you know, Jake might have a point. I was like, Elucid is the man. I was like,
Elucid's wild, bro.
I was kind of already in that camp, but yeah, it's so weird and experimental, even for him, I feel like. There's not a lot. I don't even know if there is a song that has like a classic, you know.
I kept waiting for that.
Yeah.
But like you said earlier, it's like his diabetic test strips was kind of influenced onto this album too.
So yeah.
He probably did some production on there, brought a little to this album.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But it is good.
I think it is produced by him, right? He produced it, a lot of it?
I think so.
Yeah.
It like yeah.
It sounds like it because it's kind of wacko sometimes.
Yeah, it's a little raw.
But
yeah.
And it made me go back and listen to, because I was already getting into, like, Nostrum Grocers, but then I was like, let me listen to, like, see where the dots are to lead to that album coming out. And I was like, okay, I can kind of see it happening. But then I listened, just happened to put on, like, diabetic test strips. And I was like, oh, no, that's where it came. Mm-hmm. There it is. I was like, there's the exact connection. But no, I actually dig it, you know. I kind of like it for... It's kind of like Aethiopes for Billy Woods. Like, it's... You're not going to get into this album for the... Like, to listen to, like, a classic hip-hop beat.
Sure. You're gonna, yeah, from track one on that, you're like, what's going on? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then... but it's like, Elucid's killing it vocally, like, lyrically and stuff. So it kind of reminded me of that a lot. I was like, oh, this is... I feel the same way about Revelator as I do Aethiopes. In a sense. But yeah, I fucking love it so far.
It's good, yeah. Good listen.
What else you guys been listening to? Or re-listening to? Any bands?
New Machine Girl came out.
Okay.
The album, finally?
The night of my birthday, it came out. It's got vocals on, like, the entire thing. And so it's the guy that... Because that's the producer and the drummer, right? The guy that does production is doing vocals now for him. And so it's... I'm super excited for that show because it's going to be fucking fun regardless.
It's so cool.
But yeah, it's like fucking vocal over Machine Girl beats. So it's just
nice.
When you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah, this is like the only vocals that you could put over this. Like it's angry. It was Mario getting the star in Mario Kart, but now it's angry version of that. And I'm like, yeah.
It's Wario like, now, baby.
Exactly.
Oh, the cover's different. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so MG Ultra, I think, is what it's called. Yeah. It's pretty damn good. I suggest listening to it at least. If you are digging Revelator, go ahead and just fucking listen to MG Ultra. Like, if you're already in the weird stuff, right? Might as well.
Yeah.
But other than that, no.
I saw Bon Iver drop the EP. I haven't heard it yet. But
I did see that too.
Me either.
It's like three songs or something. I have been kind of listening to more Ka lately.
What album?
What is it? It's like the second or third one that came out after Honor Kills the Samurai.
Because that's one of my favorites.
Album's so good. That album's so fucking good. He's a really good producer, actually. He was a really good producer and rapper. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Not a lot of people know about him. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know about him. So it's sad that he left so soon. But
yeah,
he left his mark. Go listen to his discography. You'll see it.
Yeah. Honor Kill the Samurai is really good. And that, the one that he did with,
Orpheus or.
Yeah. Sirens on that is good. But that, Animos produced it. That album is good. Forget what it's called, but it's, I think I've shown you it. It's the one with like the, it's like the Greek sculptures or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that album, him and Animos, it was good.
Hell yeah. What about you? Anything?
I dove back into a band that I saw live with Ministry, Frontline Assembly.
Mm.
Just because they have like a techno-ish metal kind of sound.
Gotcha.
So, Echo Genetic is the album.
Okay.
Very cool. Lots of hit songs on there that you've probably heard before, but
okay.
They got a cool sound. It's nice and loud and proud.
Hell yeah. We love all that. Yeah, I don't think I've been... Oh, I mean, we'll get into it, but I went into your album. I went into Marilyn Manson a little bit.
Yeah.
I went back down. If we're talking about re-listening to anything, yeah, this morning in particular, I was like, I think after I listened to all the albums for the first time, I was like, all right, Antichrist Superstar, here we go. Yep. Right into that. But yeah, other than that, just the stuff that we've been doing this week and the stuff that's new that came out, because I was really looking forward to that. Rez dropped an EP also, a little 4-track, pretty good stuff as well. So yeah, I was like,
nice.
Both of those dropped at 9 p.m. on my birthday, so I was just happy as a pig and shit. I was like, there we go.
Dude, I feel like at the end of the year is like when a lot more albums start coming out. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Mm-mm. I don't know why. Like, also Tyler, the Creator's coming out with a new album, I think, next week.
Ooh.
They just sneak up on you out of nowhere all the time.
Wonderful. That's going to be... That'll be fun. That'll be a fun listen, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Shall we dive into today's stuff? Let's do it. It's What You Spin in episode 81. Thanks for coming back. Spotify and stuff. Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Fucking clip it. Anyway, it's What You Spin in episode 81. We are here ready to kick today's festivities off. And speaking of festivities, we're going to take a little bit of a break. And this episode will kind of get you through that and through Halloween season. So I decided I was going to go with a spooky-ish album. And so did the fellas. And to start that off, we've got my pick first. You see it on the TV screen behind Matt. I'm going with 2001's The Sinister Urge by Mr. Rob Zombie. Second album follow-up to 98's Hellbilly Deluxe, which we have covered. The album, this was done at the same time that he finished the film House of a Thousand Corpses. There's, you know, hence where the song comes from on this album. But yeah, one of my favorite albums in the genre, honestly. It's like hard for me to pick between Hellbilly and this album sometimes. So yeah, Sinister Urge, Rob Zombie.
Robert So he's always got good production.
Oh yeah.
Even on this second album, you can hear it. Mm-hmm. Like all those songs are just dynamic. Some have the keyboards going on. This is like hailed as his like fan favorite album.
Mm-hmm. Red. Yeah.
And it's catchy. There's a lot of songs that are catchy. House of a Thousand Corpses. I've always looked for that song, and I never knew what album it was on.
Really?
So I always hear it in the beginning of the movie, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is that on an album? Of course it is. So this is a fun listen for me.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. That's good, man.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah. It like gave me a little bit of White Zombie feelings also. But yeah, man, it's Rob Zombie.
Robert L. Zombie.
Yep. El Zombie.
Yeah.
No, that was good.
There's so many people on this album too, all the guests.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, got fucking
Ozzy. I was like, that's not Rob. I was like, who the fuck yeah. is that?
He's recruited so many different, you know, drummers and guitarists and things like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, hearing all those sounds on this one album, I didn't know all those people were on there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is kind of that's like the only word you can use to describe it, is because it's like, wait, he had just split from White Zombie when he did Hellbilly Deluxe, you know, so there wasn't anything too crazy about it. But then Sinister Urge comes out and it's much more grandiose in a way. You know, it is heralded as the fan favorite, and it's got a lot of dance influence, you know, like Never Gonna Stop, yeah. that song alone. It has just so much more groove to it. And I don't know. It's like because it's almost the albums are almost completely different if we're talking Hellbilly to this.
Sure.
In a way, you know, there's like Living Dead Girl, Dragula, like those are Rob Zombie staples, you know, that's where like he got his thing, you know, but then you look at this and you're like, holy shit, like this. And I remember hearing Rob Zombie my entire life. And I do remember like Never Gonna Stop and stuff being on the radio for almost 10 years after this album came out. And yeah, it's just, I love the fact that it has a little more funk and like groove to it. Mm-hmm. And you start to see Rob Zombie kind of get branch out a little bit more from the, you know, basically, the horror, so much of the horror stuff. He strays a little bit more away from it in this and gets like a little bit more musical with it. And I really appreciate that about this album.
I also get like, I feel like he is for the most part kept in some way like an electronic feel, like with some songs, like Scum of the Earth.
Yeah.
Like with the intro on that, I'm like, oh, okay. Like it's like got a little bit of like just a beat pattern on it. Like just like, kind of production wise.
Yeah.
So, and I also started like listening a little bit to, his first album and it had similar songs that started off like that. So I was like, okay, he's kind of like in a way keeping the same, that same groove. So it was nice to see that. It's like, he's like still branching out with like who he's working with, but at the same time his style is kind of still developing, but it's like his already. He already has his own way of how he plays.
Yeah.
How he does songs.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. He's developing a sound right here very well
too. Yeah. And because it is showing, it's like, hey, it's not just this. It's like Rob Zombie's known, which we have discussed like when we did Rob Zombie, when we covered Hellbilly and White Zombie, that there's nothing that sounds like this. Like, damn, like not even Alice Cooper, not even Manson, like all of those guys have their own sound. And this is really him developing a more, like giving it a little more polish and a little, I don't know how to describe it, like breathing room for his like creativity to kind of go out. And I mean, to have done this and House of a Thousand Corpses, like within such close proximity is fucking wild.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really cool.
The movie like was around the same time, right?
It was done by the time, like around the same time that this was. No, it took like studios 2 or 3 years to pick it up and release it. But yeah, it was done when this was. So
that's cool. That in itself also, man, like to like be one successful with like a music career and then to still be like, hey, I'm gonna put out a movie to a song on here. And then it doesn't like become a thing until a couple years after that. People are like, this movie is actually fucking good.
Yeah.
And it becomes a cult
movie.
Classic.
It's a great movie. Yeah. It's a great horror movie. It's like one of the best of all time, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. I am rocking the shirt. I'll show. Yeah, there you go. Boom.
Nice. So it's cool to see that. Like, he kind of had that creativity like all along to kind of just keep progressing, keep doing stuff.
And it's kind of weird to look at this point in his career was kind of, you know, really him showing that, you know, because he had done, like, White Zombie had great singles on the radio. Hellbilly Deluxe did. But then he, at the same time, is, like, really showing exactly that. Like, I can do the best of both worlds. Let me put out an album that is going to get radio play for 10 years and a cult classic fucking horror movie at the same time, which spawned in a pretty illustrious fucking movie making career. Like, he's remade some incredible horror films, whether people like them or not is besides the point. He did it. So shout out Rob Zombie. I think this is a really good like spot to look at for his career. Because, I mean, to be quite honest with you, like some of the newer music that he's putting out, I'm not the biggest fan of. And, you know, like you and I have talked, like Three from Hell is easily the worst movie in the Firefly franchise. But I mean, he's still, the fact that he's still putting it out and like selling out like Moda Center and stuff, like just keep fucking killing it, Rob. I just love his music and his product a lot. So
I'd probably say the same thing for my artist too. I don't really like the new stuff that's coming out. So yeah. I always go back to the old stuff and probably always will.
That's what like, that's what made him good. That was what Rob Zombie is known for. Like this album, The White Zombie, and then obviously the Hellbilly Deluxe. So it's like, you know, it's kind of hard, especially, and that's like, I guess the counter argument is like, oh, what about his new stuff? But it's like, have you heard what he did before? Like he established the genre and like himself.
Yeah.
And in the perfect way.
Well, it's like you could, it's just, that's what it speaks volumes to that work, you know, from so early on. And it's like, yeah, no, he changed, like, this is, he was part of the early wave of, like, industrial music in the U.S., basically. Like, the, you know, we talked about it, like, Scum of the Earth and tracks like that. Like, it flirts with being industrial, and you're like, okay, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, Trent Reznor, one of the big pullers in that. We'll talk about him a little later. But, yeah, this is, again, as I've always said, 1995 to, like, 2004. Is some of the best music that's ever been put out. And this is this is not an exception to that rule. So I'm glad that we got to talk about this.
I feel like a lot of the songs that I heard growing up in high school, Rob Zombie songs, were on the radio because he was able to get on the radio.
Yeah.
One of the rare artists in this kind of music to do that.
Mm-hmm. Like even like, you know, you think about it, you're like, wow, Alice Cooper never really did. And that was like before Alice was Rob Zombie, before Rob was. And Rob Zombie comes around, and I always thought, like, can you imagine just being Alice Cooper? Be like, what the fuck? He's totally taking my shit, and he's on the radio, like, and it's like, no, you just gotta be a little creepier about it. You just gotta have a little bit. You just gotta have a sexy bassist, like, yeah, you know. It's like, you just got, because it was, you know, this era, you know, 1998, 2001, when these two albums came out, the first two Rob Zombie albums. It's like you couldn't do that today and have the same success. The late 90s, early 2000s were such a fucking hotbed for creepy shit. Like I love like neo goths and everything. Like all of that was super huge, you know, rave culture was massive. And so anything that had even slight electronic stuff, but was also talking about the devil was the hottest shit. And, you know, I follow Rob Zombie on, like, all social media, and there he still has fucking diehard fans. And, like, his shows, he's still just murdering.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, there's some point, like, again, but he's old. Like, he's an old man now, but he's still killing.
I've seen him live. He's good. About 10 years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was good. We've talked about that. But,
yeah,
he puts on a great show. And to do that all these years later, you know, he still loves what he does.
That's exactly. Fuck yeah. I think we can move into top threes if we'd like.
Let's do it.
Let's do it up. Real quick, I'll start off, and I'm going to just give a little spiel about Go to California. Ooh. I think this is, I mentioned it in a recent episode, maybe even last episode, I said this song's been stuck in my head for like 4 years. This was one of the first songs I think ever got stuck in my head when I was like 10. Because just that get up, get out, get inside the outside. I don't know. It's such an earworm little thing that it got stuck in my head when I was like 10 years old. And I was like searching for it my whole life. And then streaming services became a thing. And I was like, that's the name of that song. Because it
funny.
Like I couldn't, yeah. just forgot everything but that. So shout out Go to California. Love that song. That's my first honorable mention. Second one for me, Demon Speeding. Wonderful song. One of my, I think I said it because there was Super Beast that I heard on a fair ride, and I've also heard Demon Speeding on a Lane County fair ride. So shout out Carnies, man. Number three for me, House of a Thousand Corpses. It just, I listened to that this morning because I always listen to all the albums, and I was like, I have to watch that movie within the next week because it's, I need to. Shout out that song. Number two, Scum of the Earth. We gave that one a pretty good shout out earlier. That was one that I wasn't like too crazy about the entire time I've listened to this album, but this week, I don't know why I was going back to that a lot. And then number one, Feel So Numb. Oh man, what a fucking banger. Just makes you want to shake your ass. I remember learning that on guitar when I was like 14. I'm probably going to try to do that again here soon. Dearly. But yeah, shout out Sinister Urge, Rob Zombie.
Oh yeah. I can go next. Honorable mention, Go to California. Me too. When I was hearing that, I was like, damn, this is pretty fucking catchy.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely would get stuck in my head. Number three, Scum of the Earth.
Nice.
Talked to that one a little bit. Number two, Dead Girl Superstar.
Wonderful.
And then my favorite was also Feel So Numb.
Nice.
Also, shout out to Bring Her Down. That one's also really good.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Kerry King did some solo work on that song, Death Girl Superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful solo. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I actually didn't find that out until today.
Me too. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I was like, holy shit, are you serious? And then I immediately went and listened to it. I was like, oh yeah, so that's Kerry.
Yeah, you can
and, tell. I love Kerry. Shout out Kerry King, man. Always down to do a solo for someone else. Love his work with the Beastie Boys as well.
Honorable mention for me was Bring Her Down to Cribbletown. I feel like it had the keyboard kind of dynamic sound to it. Mm-hmm. More of like an operatic feel to it.
Hell yeah.
Number three, Go to California. For me, I felt like that slowed down the album in a good way, a positive way.
Yeah.
Number two, Demon Speeding. And then my favorite track is House of a Thousand Corpses.
Fuck yeah, baby. Shout out. Hell yeah. One of my favorite albums associated with one of my favorite movies. Check out the video that we did about House of a Thousand Corpses. Great film, great album here, and just shout out Rob Zombie in general. I feel like we just gave him a pretty good appreciation sesh there. But yeah, that's my pick for this week. 2001's The Sinister Urge by Rob Zombie. Go ahead and give it a listen, and go ahead and stick around. We're going to kind of shift directions a little bit here, but it's a spooky episode of What You Spinning. It's What You Spinning episode 81. Energy. Okay, let's see. Let me flip it over. Let me flip it over to this side. Time to move on and move backward in time. I love time traveling with you guys.
It's fun.
It's such a good time.
We'll never tell you our secret though.
It's the exact setup from Napoleon Dynamite. Plot twist. remember the stick in the leg?
Yep.
Hell yeah. But we're going to go backwards to 1994 for the rest of the episode, actually. That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
And go with Jake's pick for this week. What do you have cooking, baby boy?
Yeah, so the first album that came out this year that we'll talk about, Portishead Dummy, came out in 94. The inside kind of has some cool pictures of the album and some songs on it, some tracks. Genre called trip hop, which is like a UK and Bristol, a genre that came out from there, which is like a merge of like hip hop, R&B, jazz, like a whole bunch of different things, really get lumped up in it. But primarily like kind of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of cool. When I heard this, I remember I was like blown away. I was like, it's got like some beats with like an opera singer. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Kind of gave me like Bjork vibes in a way, but like if Bjork like just wore like a flat billed hat backwards
and
thought like they were a gangster.
I could picture that.
So if Bjork was a swag kid from 2013.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, went, I know it's Matt, it's your first time listening to it. Dorian, I don't know about you.
Yeah, this was also my first time, but go ahead.
It was my first time. The trip hop genre was new to me. I love this album. I'm going to try to get it on vinyl. I love her voice. Reminded me of a couple songs did of Tori Amos.
Yes.
Especially Biscuit. That song, I could feel her voice in that. Nice. So I like the good female vocals on any album. So they kind of just brought that genre to the U.S. too a little bit, because you said it was like a Bristol sound, and they made it their own. And I need to dive into more of their catalog and see what they got.
Yeah, definitely. My first introduction to this as well, it was one because the book that it's so funny that we use it to hold up my laptop so we have a better camera angle. Yeah. But that book has this in it because I was going through all the albums that when I got it, one of the first things I did was go through the like a couple eras, you know. So I went through all the ones that came out in the 90s, and this just keeps popping up in a bunch of things that I read. Portishead Dummy, and I'm like, it's one of those things where like I thought they were something completely different.
Me
and
too.
So
totally different.
Yeah. This was one, I think it was one of the questions that we did a while back, and Jake said this is something that you were trying to get on vinyl, and I was like, okay, and because you said it was electronic, and I was like, what? Wait, what? Because Portishead made me think of, like, Buckethead, so then, like, made me think of something.
I was thinking, like, Skinny Puppy or, like, industrialist.
Yeah, exactly, like, something like that, but this is completely, basically, all that to say, this is completely fucking different than what I thought it was, in the best way possible. And I was looking for it, because I, kind of like I said last time, or last episode, I was just going to buy this, and that was going to be my exposure to it. I was going to do that trick. Oh. And so, I was just going to buy it on vinyl, and then just have that be my introduction to it. Still going to get it, as you said, Matt, but man, I love getting thrown for a loop like that and having it be something that I'm like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. 19, yeah, fucking weird ass. It's a weird time for it to come out because it is Bjork, like, you know, you said it. It's like Bjork, you know, she sounds like Tori Amos, and it's like, it just again makes you realize, like, the fuck, like 1994, we talked about 1995 for a whole episode. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just letting anything go, man. Yeah. Like, they were
very creative with what they were doing.
And I love it. And you read the backstory on this, and I don't know any names or anything. I just read all of this today. I see you have something pulled up.
Yeah.
Would you like to jump in here just in case? Okay. But there was, from my understanding, there was a friend that came in. Like, so there was two people making music or something, and then a third friend came in and was like, have you guys ever heard of a fucking theremin and all these weird ass instruments? And then,
oh cool, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, so like there was, I don't know, I think it was like the singer and the guitarist were doing stuff, and then another person came in and was like, hey, you ever play these weird ass instruments? What if we did this? And then they just did a lot of experimental ways of recording and mastering it. And so the backstory is super weird. And it's like, yeah, of course that would happen in a UK apartment, because they're like recording. It's literally like they were recording these songs in a kitchen.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't digital at all from what I read.
Yeah.
They were sampling records and then making their own music and tying it together. And how creative is that?
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
I saw Weather Report was an album they sampled. Mm-hmm.
What? Like, and you're, as soon as you hear that, you're like, okay, let me try to hear the samples. And then they do it in such a way and tie it in with their own stuff that it's, you can't really pick it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that really shows the genius behind this. And it's like, yeah, no shit, this is voted like one of the best electronic albums of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, because when you hear the backstory and, you know, the just how unique that is, like, no one ever I've never heard anybody doing that kind of shit.
No.
Uh-uh. So yeah, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, the process they did with this.
Yeah.
And it really also, like, there's a couple, like, three or four big albums in that genre, trip hop, and this is definitely up there as probably like what defines the genre. And it's, yeah, it's like has a lot of hip hop elements. It's not like rapping per se, but they like sample, they like you know, make beats off of it in a way.
They're scratching, there's fading and shit. Yeah,
like the first song that we listened to, it has like a whirling kind of and scratching in between also, like the record. So yeah, they were very like practical and hands-on with how they were like making this. It was like very like just sampling and looping, and it was fucking awesome what they were doing. And it was very, like, out there, very creative for this time.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, how did you stumble upon this band?
I heard this a couple, like, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I think I was, I don't remember where, but I stumbled across it through, like, my Spotify. It just came up. And I had always heard of the name Portishead, and I had seen, like, at record stores, like, the label there, but it was always empty. So I'm like, okay. Not something I was looking for, but it just came up out of nowhere, and I heard Glory Box off of it.
Ooh.
Okay. And I was like, holy shit, this is good. And I saw they had, like, just everything was really good, and a lot of people listened to it. So I was like, let me give it a listen. And I did, and, I mean, the rest is there. And I went out to look for it. I've been looking for this for a while. A lot of the stores, sometimes they'd have it, and I'd be like, I'll just wait, I'll just wait. Never picked it up. And finally had to this time. But yeah, it's been there for a while, and it's definitely a good one, a good one to listen to. It throws you for a loop, like you guys said. And it's very creative, what they were doing, and everything about it, from the lyrics, the production on it. Apparently they made a movie off of it too, I saw. Okay.
And that's what, like, the, isn't the album cover like a still from that or something? I was reading, I read about that, and I didn't look into that movie at all, but
me neither.
You know, we love a good music tied movie.
A musical around here. So I was like, it's like, what weren't these guys doing? You know? Like, so yeah, it was fucking, it was wild. It was crazy how I stumbled upon it. But yeah, I'm glad I could bring it up, because it had elements of spooky, I feel like.
Yeah. So,
it does. It's got that raw sound. They even recorded some of their stuff out of a broken amplifier. It's like...
That's cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you hear it, and it does have even, you know, we listen to it on Spotify. I don't own it. It has, like, the pops and, like, crackles and stuff of, like, old shitty record players and like broken speakers. So I can totally, as soon as you said broken amplifier, I was like, oh yeah, of course they did. Like, man, like, again, just how the fuck do you think of that? Like,
just going in the studio or wherever you're recording and just trying out new things. It's gotta be fun.
It's just experiment. And it's, I noticed, because I always look at, like, the personnel and see, because on Wikipedia, because I always go through the pages, I go to the personnel to see if anyone, like, featured or whatever. And you look at this, and it's like, guitar for songs 1, 3, 5. And it's like, but then everybody's switching stuff. It felt like everybody was playing everything, it seemed like, at some point during the recording process, which is, that just, as you said, that just has to be so much fun. Fucking, we're going to play with the slide whistle today and record it through a microphone that's stuffed in a toilet. Okay. Yeah, and 1, 2, 3.
It's cool how, like, stuff like this too comes to, like, your area, to America. And, because it's like, it's, you know, it's Bristol. Like, this is just some small town and, you know, a different country. And, like, you hear this and it's like, okay, sure. But, like, back then, definitely how it would have gotten around, how people would have found out about it.
Yeah.
Like, they, like, what, they, like, their handwriting, instead of looking like a H for hip hop, looks like T, and, like, they end up getting this or some shit, you know? Like, it's, so it's cool. It's cool with that too, how, like, people got into it. But yeah, it's been praised a lot, surprisingly. Like, I didn't know that until I was looking into it.
Yeah.
Like, it's been praised so much, and it's considered one of the best in that genre. So it's like,
it's in the book.
It's in the book. It's our Bible.
Yeah, it is our Bible.
Fuck yeah. Shall we? What are we thinking?
Dive on in.
Any closing arguments?
I really like their sound.
Me too.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It's different. It doesn't sound like anything in that 94 era.
No. And they're really trying, like, as you said, like, it sounds, we could sit here and say it sounds like X, it sounds like Y, all, like, almost, because it has elements of so much going on in it. You know, like Jake said, you're like, it's got some jazz, but then she's got, like, a very operatic voice. So there's, like, the Amos comparisons coming in, but in and of itself, there's nothing that I've heard that sounds like this, and I want to kind of listen to other stuff that they've done. I am nervous too, but Because I might, it's kind of like your thing with the Grateful Dead, Matt, where you're like, I don't want to do that because I don't want to be the become the biggest Deadhead. I don't want to become the biggest Portishead head of all time. Yeah, so yeah. I'm gonna be, I'm gonna be careful about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard their other things, but I'm sure it's good. One that we didn't talk about, Rhodes.
Oh my god.
Really, really like Rhodes when I stumbled upon this. Like I had to listen to the full album when I discovered it, and I did, and it made me fall in love with it. That's my honorable mention.
Nice segue.
You did that. I just copied you. I'm like, ooh, I like that. Mental notes. Number three, Strangers. That one's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just every song is different too. Every song is very different when you listen to it. Especially for the first time, that's kind of the spooky element of it. It's like the first song just throws you such of a loop that you're like, what the fuck is next? Like, how could it be different? And it is. Number two, Sour Times. And ooh, number one, Mr. Ons.
Nice. Excellent. Honorable mention for me, Mr. Ons and Strangers is my other one. Number three for me is Rhodes. But by golly, did it almost turn into number one. Number two for me, It's a Fire. That was kind of like almost brings a tear to your eye, that one, for some reason for me. And the number one, Biscuit.
Nice.
Yeah, the Tory vibe is very strong there. But just outside of that, and it being at the end of the album is kind of like a nice touch to it when you're listening to it. And that comes out and you're like, oh, kind of perks your ear up. But yeah, love this album. Definitely going to try getting my hands on it. Thanks for bringing this up. I've saved a good amount of stuff to playlists already. So,
yeah, Biscuit was a great way to end this album. That was my honorable mention.
Nice.
Number three, It Could Be Sweet. I like that track. A little bit different. Number two, Wandering Star. And then my favorite track was Strangers. Wonderful. I feel like that.
I knew you would say that.
That just has the vibe for me.
It does, my vibe.
Hell yeah. Love it, love it, love it. That was our second album for today's content. That's Jake's pick from 1994, Dummy by Portishead. Very interesting album. Give it a listen. If you've never heard it and you have heard of Portishead, which I'm sure you have, go ahead and give it a listen. You will love it. Anyway, it's What You Spin in episode 81. Stick around. We're going to put a big old fat bow on this biatch and send it to the moon with Matt's pick. Stick around. I am the god of fuck. It makes me, that song makes me think of Dead Kennedys. That's why I put that up there. And I don't know why. It just makes me think of fucking Jello Biafra. But anyway, anywho, you know what? We started off talking about one of my favorite artists in Rob Zombie. Then we got to be introduced to an album that I'm just going to love for the rest of my life, probably. And now we get to talk about, again, one of my favorite artists. I'm super stoked that we get to talk about this with Matt's pick for this week from 1994.
Yes, found this up at Music Millennia a few weeks ago, going with Marilyn Manson's, first album, Portrait of an American Family. Interesting backstory. Lots of different things went on during the recording process for this album. It was essentially re-recorded because they didn't like the first version of it, and that's where Trent Reznor came into play. Which you can kind of feel that when you hear this album. You hear that industrial kind of Trent sound, but you also hear what Manson's doing on his own with his vocals, with his lyrics that are... I think his lyrics early on in his career are a little bit better than they are now. Like, he actually thought about what he was writing. Mm-hmm, he was a journalist when he first started. He was a music journalist when he first started getting into music in general, so he had that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I brought his book with me because it kind of ties into that a little bit, but... This album is unique for 94. There wasn't a lot that sounded like this. It was almost scary in a sense. The album cover alone is a little disturbing.
Yeah.
And the way they presented themselves on stage, and that's how they got their fan base, doing crazy stage shows. You know, I won't even go into the details, but there was a lot going on stage that was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So Manson definitely set the tone, and there's nobody else like him, honestly. What'd you guys think of this album?
Ooh, do you want to go or I'll dive in?
I have heard the name Marilyn Manson forever.
Right.
I've never wanted to listen to his music. I guess not. I guess maybe not wanted isn't the good way to put it. I've never seeked out to listen to his music. But hearing this, I kind of get the appeal. Like it's very at some points in your face, lyrically. The play style of this, like how they're playing, it feels for the most part pretty polished.
Mm-hmm.
Especially starting off. So I like it kind of in a way wants me to listen to his other stuff. But I've never kind of seen the appeal.
Mm.
So it's not necessarily my thing a whole lot, but it's a solid album as yeah. is. Like listening to it, Cyclops was good. Lunchbox fucking ruled.
Yeah.
That was a good song. So I was like, I was like going through this, listening to it, and like, I'm like, should I like this? Do I like this? I'm like, fuck, that's a good song. Fuck, I kind of.
Yeah.
it kind of rules. But it's crazy to me, like reading up on it, all the backstory, and they pretty much did a whole new sound to this album
mm-hmm.
when they did it. Like they scrapped the first one and almost in a way redid a full fucking thing,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is crazy. It shows a lot of commitment to what they were doing, and I can admire that. But yeah, it's a good listen.
I think there's a lot of people too that have that same opinion. Like I don't seek to listen out to Marilyn Manson. A lot of people I know don't, and I think it's just one of those things. Like you either like them or you don't.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not a bad thing.
No,
that's how it is.
Yeah. Certainly not. And you know, I remember going through that exact same thing doing anything my mom didn't want me to do. And so this was at the top of the list. Was listening to this shit. But I was like, ooh, I don't know. I was like, I'm really scared that I was like more, but like even more aggressive than what you're talking about. I was like, I nervous that I was liking it. And I think that says something about it as an art piece, whether, you know, no matter what it is. And you know, I think it's something, I think music kind of needed this, you know, needed something like this. You know, again, it's 1994, so again, we were just doing whatever the fuck we wanted. Marilyn Manson did exactly that. You know, the stage shows were crazy. He was packing out 300 person rooms in South Florida with this group, and then, you know, caught the eye of Trent Reznor, and that the rest is essentially history. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's, you know, Marilyn Manson, he's got, the stories are endless, you know, of the antics and everything, but when you boil it when you get down to it, I have the same exact thing with him that I do with Rob Zombie, where I'm like, not many people sound like this was such an interesting part in music for me, and like, because it's like I always say, like it was such an interesting time. They were doing whatever they wanted in the mid 90s. And there's a couple of examples. There's like a couple of huge examples of that. You've got the rap music that was coming out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like these, like the weird shock rock industrial shit that was going on, mm-hmm. With, you know, the Zombie, the Manson, all that stuff. And this is a huge piece of that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And his albums are spooky. I didn't hear this album until like my mid 20s.
Oh, wow.
And I listened to Manson in high school. The first album that I listened to was the one that had the popular reversion of the Eurythmics song.
Mm-hmm.
That Smells Like Children.
Yeah.
Have you listened to that album?
Yeah. It's like all covers.
Mostly, but there's some creepy shit on there. I remember getting really stoned with friends in high school and just sitting there listening to this and freaking ourselves out.
Yeah.
It was scary music back then.
Yeah.
You know? And this album does give that vibe a little bit, but I think he does it well, because you could try to make an album like this and do it horribly wrong.
I
think having Reznor re-record it helped a lot. This isn't one of the best albums he has, but it's one of my favorites just because of the sound. It's just so different for 94. It's that shock rock in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And again, lyrically, he just says some cool shit that made a lot of sense back then and still does today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
He was very intentional. Like this is, he was wanting to like, in a way, freak you out. Like alter like your point of view on some things.
Mm-hmm.
Like specifically for a debut, this being your starting off, like they had different like ideas for the cover, for the songs, for the tracks, for everything. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't like it the first time it came out, they wanted it to be how they wanted, which is why they redid it. So it was very intentional why they were doing it. And that's like their whole spiel, like with the album, with their fucking, their like bandmates, like their names, everything. Like that's the whole thing.
Madonna, Wayne Gacy.
Like, yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. All right. But that's like the whole appeal of what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. Like it's cool. I get it.
Yeah. It's like the Slipknot would go on to do something very similar. You know, it was kind of a precursor to what would come, you know.
Yeah, Slipknot definitely put it up a notch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff about this album. You know, like you said, for it being a debut and for what the music is, it's like, wow, there's actually a lot of polish. Like the bass grooves on this are really well done. The drums are mastered almost perfectly, which is insane, especially for the, you know, just when you read the backstory, like the fact that it sounds as good as it does is bizarre almost. And one thing that I noticed, because, you know, you and I were talking, because they had this album and Lest We Forget, which is his best of, that was put out in, I think, 06. And it's like, I was telling you, I was like, I'm almost down to get that. Like, I usually don't like getting greatest hits albums on vinyl, but that's a phenomenal fucking best of. And Get Your Gun and Lunchbox are like the only two songs from this on it. And so you can kind of tell, like, he kind of scraps a lot of the sound off of this before he moves on in his career. And you hear, when you're listening to this cover to cover, you hear Lunchbox, you're like, there's it. That's a good one. And then you hear Get Your Gun and you're like, oh, okay. Like, and if you were to continue to listening and you go to like Antichrist Superstar and everything, you can feel him picking up the pieces of his sound in a sense, kind of like we were talking with Hellbilly and Sinister Urge. There's very obvious pieces on this album that you're like, oh, he figured it out with those two, and that's what he built his sound off of going forward. So I like that about it.
Yeah. And speaking of the bass and the drum, the bass player was so strung out all the time. He got fired.
Yeah.
He brought in Twiggy, but Twiggy only got credit for like a little, it says bass tendencies on the back of the album.
Yeah.
It's funny. And then the drumming, I guess they kind of scrapped the original drumming and brought in some sort of a drum machine.
Yeah.
Like Reznor brought that in with one of his bandmates and threw that on the album instead.
That's
so
right.
They really re-scrapped this album. So
yeah.
I'm curious what the first version sounds like, you know?
Yeah.
Are they the same songs? Is it the same vibe? What's going on? But
right.
I'm glad that Trent did this and they set the tone and the vibe for the mid-90s and beyond.
Yeah. Those first couple of tours with Nine Inch Nails and Manson would have been insane.
Yeah.
And then they went up and did, it was Manson after, so he toured after this, they toured with Nine Inch Nails the like next year, the year after. They tour with Korn in support of Danzig.
Oh, dude.
That would have been insane. Fucking crazy. In like 95.
Oh, dude, the prime.
But just wonderful stuff. I'm glad that we got to talk about this. And it is it's perfect for this time of year. And, you know, it is one that, as you said, and, you know, as we've kind of discussed, it's like, yeah, it's not everybody's cup of tea. But the people that love it, fucking love it. Like it's a whole
that's what, like, I think it's cool about it is that there's a niche and a fan base for everything.
No matter what
you're into.
And
up on the opposite side, this band gets so much shit from the media, from news, everything. Like, it's like, and every album cover that I see or every fucking track, I'm like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah, you're like, oh, like, goddamn.
But that's their whole thing. It's like wanting to kind of be like that front face of, and like, I wouldn't really know a whole lot of bands that put it up to this and be this mainstream.
Because
there's some weird shit in music, especially like in, I guess you could say in metal, there's could be some, or in rock. But to be like this mainstream and also to be this like so critical and a critical point, but still be successful off of it, and like sell out shows and keep producing albums, or get
banned in a state.
That's
like a huge influence. Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, they were doing it. They didn't care. They're just fucking, you know, setting their mark in music and everything.
It'd be one thing if we were just covering this to talk about the antics of it, but it's like, no, you like the music behind it was such a staple of like the rest of the 90s and early 2000s, you know, like Beautiful People was everywhere. I mean, a different album, but like I said, like Lunchbox was huge too.
Yep.
For years and years. And yeah, it's, when you're being that out there, and like you said, it's like, how can it be that controversial, but be so accepted to where all of these songs have had massive radio play or, you know, and it's like, yeah, everybody knows the name Marilyn Manson. And it's like, he did it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. As you said in the beginning, this was all intentional. Reznor even said that, talking about it. He's like, yeah, Marilyn Manson, everything that he's ever done, he knew exactly what he was doing. He's like, it was all planned. Like, yeah, he's doing everything to piss you off and it's working. Like, essentially.
It is working.
Yeah. Which, rage bait. Rage bait, like, at the earliest form and the best, probably.
And that really says something, because it was, you know, you had the Elvises, you had the Jim Morrisons and everything, like all of these, you had controversial figures throughout music. And it, you know, then the more niche stuff you get, like Gigi Allen and everything that not everybody knows about, but Marilyn Manson's like the one that is like the most, the one that did the most bizarre shit that is the most popular outside of like Ozzy Osbourne. And that's just hats off to him. You know what? And it is music that I go through at least once a year. I start cranking and putting on some Marilyn Manson for like a day or two. And then I'm like, yeah, it's just, I'll always have an appreciation for his music. But as you kind of said earlier, there's like a good 4-album run that he has, and then the rest.
And then it kind of just disappears.
Yeah.
I did like the album just because it has a good saying that I should probably do more in my life, but it says, you cannot sedate all the things you hate.
There you go. I love that.
I think that's pretty good coming from Manson.
Yeah. I love that.
I like the definitely spooky vibes. Kind of reading up on it. How they recorded at, like initially, I think, well, it's like whatever, but like the spooky, like paranormal shit going on. If you guys looked into it, it was like, okay, cool. Like they, like it has that vibe, and very much so for what they were doing at the time, with their shows, crazy ass fucking things going on. So in all that sense, like the build up to it is what, kind of caught my attention about it. It was like, okay, it wasn't just in the music, like they were doing this, like this is what, you know, this is their whole shtick.
Yeah. Because I thought they recorded at that house, the Sharon Tate murder house.
That's what they said, and that was kind of what Reznor, that was the main thing that he was referencing when I said that, because Reznor was interviewed about it, and he's like, I didn't do that on purpose, that was all Marilyn. He's like, that was all Manson. He's like, I had nothing to do with that. He did that and knew exactly what the fuck he was doing. So talk to him basically was like kind of the interview that I was reading. And he was like, yeah, no, that was all him. And I wouldn't have done it for that purpose. But then a little side story, there's like rumor that he had the door of the house when they destroyed it. He had the door of the house taken, Trent Reznor did, and put it on his studio in New Orleans. So maybe he had a little more to do with it than he's given off. You're not so fucking slick, Trent. But yeah, that it's like, of course, you know, it's just another one of those things. You're like, a fucking course they did. And another shout out, because you were talking about like the spooky stuff. The original album, and we kind of touched on this, the original album cover was going to be a John Wayne Gacy painting of a clown. They ended up not using it, but a band did. And I recommend listening to this album, Acid Bath. They did a album called When the Kite String Pops, and they used that same painting as the album cover. Good old sludge metal, doom metal, whatever that genre is. It's pretty fucking good. The guy's got a hell of a voice. Listen to that. But I was reading that, I was like, oh, no fucking way, because I was like, oh, I listened to that album. I was like hell into that album like 2 years ago. I was like, no shit, they almost used that. So
sludge metal, that's such a good that's a good genre.
We love it. But yeah, man, Marilyn Manson.
They did use a lot of horror movie samples too. Not horror movie, but movie samples in general. John Waters films.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks isn't wrapped in plastic. So that was cool.
They like thanked John Waters on the album too, or like on the liner notes or something. That's funny. I love it.
Well, cool. I'm glad you guys dug it a little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely not for everybody, but it's definitely got that sound that 94 didn't have.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Music needed a villain.
Yeah.
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 That's perfectly said. They needed a villain.
Exactly. Well, let's top three it up, eh?
Let's do it. Honorable mention for me was My Monkey, just because the voice, the vocal rendition there is funny. Number three, Get Your Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Organ Grinder. And then number one was Wrapped in Plastic. Just love that song. It has a lot of different catchy lyrics and just good.
Nice. Honorable mentions for me, Cake and Sodomy. Just, I am the god of fuck is such a Marilyn Manson line. Like, that's another one that you're like, yeah, of course he said that. Mm-hmm. Of course he said that and then had the career he did. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of things, like I said, there's a lot of things on this album that you can point back to and be like, yeah, of course. It all makes sense. Number two for me was Cyclops. Really liked that one. It had like a nice little groove to it. Number three for me was Lunchbox. I do have the two best, like the two biggest songs in my top three, but I've just loved them forever. Number three was Lunchbox, and that was like one of the last Marilyn Manson songs that I got super into, and that was only recently this summer. Number two for me, Organ Grinder, same exact reason. Just love that song. And the number one, Get Your Gun. The fucking chorus to that song is so good. And yeah, I love the way that it ends just with him screaming, get. I don't know why. I'm just like, fuck yeah.
One of the stronger lyrical songs on the album. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's in my top three. First, my honorable mention was Snake Eyes and Sissies.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one a little bit towards the end of the album. Number three, Lunchbox.
Nice.
Number two, Wrapped in Plastic. That one was good. And then Lunchbox number one for sure. That one I caught, it like caught my ear first thing when I heard it. I
nice. Like, yeah,
that's good.
Wonderful. Glad you were able to find something that you liked about it.
Oh yeah. I always like the like reading up on it.
Oh
like,
yeah.
It's kind of something I'll do every morning before the pod is just kind of look into it a little bit more, the backstory. So, a lot of cool listens on this and a lot of cool reading notes on it.
Yeah, on all three albums, I had a good time reading into all this stuff. You know, I knew most about Sinister Urge, obviously, but reading up on this was super fun. Portishead, like all of that stuff. I don't even think I finished the article. It was so fucking long. Like I was like, I was like, this is an insane Wikipedia article. I'm going to come back to this. But yeah, well, that was 1994's Portrait of an American Family by Marilyn Manson, the debut of what would go on to be a controversial, illustrious, just, you know, hell of a career, honestly. Hats off to him as well. That's going to wrap up our spooky episode of What You Spin in episode 81 here. We'll be right back to go into everybody's favorite part, which is letting you know what's coming next time. Please stick around. It's What You Spin in. We ready, fellas?
Yeah.
Let me flip back over.
Yeah.
Me too. Okay. Hey, it's What You Spinning. Episode 81. We are at the end, and boy, has it been so much fun.
It's been kind of scary.
It's been a little spooky. I almost had to hold your hand at one point. I was a little touch and go there for a second. But we made it through. We talked about some great music, some new stuff, some old stuff, some well-loved stuff, and everything in between. And now the fun begins. Will someone bring up hip-hop? Will someone touch a genre that they've personally never brought up? Or will some of us do exactly what we always do? We'll figure it out here in a couple minutes. Yeah, it's the end of the episode, so we go in the order that we just spoke in, which means I'm up first. A little backstory. I was going to do this album. I was going to do that album. But then I remembered we're going to be apart for a while. And I hate to do it to you guys, but bringing up like an alternative metal pick that I discovered this summer, I think you guys will really, really appreciate it, especially given all the time we're going to take. Loathe's 2021 album, I Let It In and It Took Everything. I've mentioned it a handful of times on here as stuff I've been listening to / picking up. Just a phenomenal album, and I think we will all find something different to love about it. So, Loathe.
Nice. I've seen that come up in our songs blend. That we listen to. Yeah, our blend. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to one or two. It's good.
Oh, yeah. I tried to poison Matt. I poisoned Matt a little bit with it when he was here. I was like, here. Sit down. I was like, listen.
Listen and like this.
With that being said, then I, since it will be a little bit of a grind for these albums, I'll bring up, it is,
oh,
Peanut Butter Wolf, My Vinyl Weighs a Ton. Came out in, what year is it? I want to say early 90s. Let me look it up real quick.
Wonderful.
I'm so not early 90s, sorry. Oh my God, I guess I should have looked it up. '99.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew it was the 90s, but 99.
Wonderful.
Vinyl Weighs a Ton.
I love that.
I'm sticking with the 90s.
Nice.
And I feel like it's been a while since we talked about Maynard.
Ooh.
So we're bringing up the second album, Undertow by Tool.
Nice.
Let's go.
Probably my favorite album.
What's up with the pigs, man?
Classic Jake. Always Every wants to time. Know what's up with the pigs. Fucking Always pig. Wants to know. Oh, fucking Undertow, Matt. I'm gonna fucking get you. One of the albums I almost brought up Murder Noms, so glad we were both in the Maynard sphere. Fuck yes, dude. I'm so stoked. This is gonna be great to listen to for a little bit of time, and this is gonna be great to fucking talk about. We got Loathe, we got Tool, we got Peanut Butter Wolf, and some friends, if I do remember correctly, last time I listened to that. It's been a while for me. But hell yeah, brethren. Thanks for stopping by. Yeah. This has been What You Spinning. Thanks for listening. We will be back mid-November. We're going to take a little time off. But yeah, support your local artists, whether that's a painter, a musician, or, you know, the crazy guy on the corner dancing his ass off. Support your local record store. Most importantly, be a friend. Tell a friend about the podcast. We are everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, everywhere you can find it. Follow us on Instagram at What You Spinning. Be kind to each other. Listen to new music and eat some damn good food. Go ahead and stay warm and stay dry. It's about to get real chilly. It's What You Spinning, episode 81. Peace out. We'll be right back.